Welcome to Career Tools. This week, what your work from home habits say about you, part two. The questions this cast answers are, what should I be aware of when working from home? How do I project professionalism when working from home? And why is authenticity the opposite of professionalism?
Solid, disciplined, and professional behaviors are needed now more than ever. If you're an HR professional supporting managers, or an executive with many levels of managers under your leadership, you may want to consider our effective manager training. Our guidance for managers is all about results and retention. We know many great professionals get hired into managerial roles because of their stellar delivery as an individual contributor. We also know that lots of organizations don't necessarily provide the training and tools that managers need to be successful, and they rely upon individuals to figure it out themselves. We can help with a few core managerial behaviors that support trusting relationships and improve communication, better results can be seen. For more details about schedules, pricing, and protocols, contact Maggie, maggie@managertools.com, or read up on our website at www.manager-tools.com/organizations.
So Kate, so far we have be on video and be on IM, and the next one is be at your desk.
Yeah. So 95% of the time when people expect you to be at your desk, you have to be at your desk. You have to answer when people call, text, IM, or video chat. If you're already engaged, at least acknowledge, hey, I know you're trying to get a hold of me. Tell them you'll get back to them. Of course, you'll sometimes be in the bathroom or making coffee, which, by the way, happens when you're in an office too.
Exactly.
Like, let's not panic. Oh, I have to be at my desk all the day. You don't feel that way about your office, right? Sometimes you get up and you can get up. When you're at home, it's not a problem. That's why we're saying 95% of the time. 95% of the time covers you for those eventualities. If you used to work in an office with your team, you know this. Sometimes you go to someone's office, they're not there. Sometimes they have a quick errand they have to run, or they've just gone to a meeting, or they're making coffee. Maybe they're unwell for a moment. Maybe they need a break, or else they'll start yelling at people. There are lots of reasons they might not be at their desk. They could just be down the hall at someone else's desk, right? I mean, In offices, there's all these indications. Also, though, remember, if you go into someone's office and they're not in there, there's likely their bag or their, you know, the sweaters across the back of their chair or something like that. So there's an indication that they're in the office, which is kind of like logging into Instant Messenger. So you don't have to actually be at your home desk. If you're logged into Instant Messenger and you were 15 minutes ago, the person can say, oh, well, they must have just gotten up for a moment. So Remember that all these things combined are giving, you know, the perception that, hey, yes, I'm actually here. And if you are actually there, because we're going to assume that the people who are listening to this are professional, adult, ethical people, then these things just tell other people, yes, I'm here. And since you're there, it's an okay thing to have these things, you know, as signals to them. And you know, if you're that person, and we all know one person who was never at their desk. No matter the time of day of the week, what was going on with the team, they were never there when you expected them to be. Those people always have a reason, right, for not being at their desk.
Yeah. They can always tell you, oh, I was down the hall with this person. Oh, I was just in the bathroom. I just went to get some coffee. They always have a reason, but it's weird because their reasons seem to add up to 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
And the same reasons for you add up to like 40 an hour
minutes.
A week.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't take long before people get suspicious. They start to wonder where is that guy? And one day that guy doesn't come in at all because he's been fired. So remember that there are signals for other people that, hey, I'm here and try to set those up. The only people who get away with the kind of behavior where they're never at their desk and they always have excuses are geniuses. And we're talking like, because a lot of our listeners are incredibly smart, but we're talking like savant level genius stuff. We're talking like you graduated Harvard at 16 and then went on to MIT at 17 and graduated there at 18 or something.
Yeah, didn't we find out recently that Mike worked with Vint Cerf? Vint Cerf is fine if he's not in his office.
Right, trust him.
The rest of us need to be in our office.
Yeah, if you invented the internet or like, you know, I don't know, Amazon or PayPal, cool. You could be at some other place. And since, well, if any of those people are listening, hi, let us know. And if you're not those people, there's only a few of them. So probably our audience is not specifically those people. If you're not that person, you might be giving yourself justifications to be away from your desk for 10 minutes an hour every hour. And that really adds up. It comes to over an hour a day. You might be able to justify that with better productivity than anyone else, maybe, but it's going to hold you back or catch you up. So let's remember, we're working from home, but you have to be working. It's time to act like we're working.
And again, we said this in the last one, and I'll say it again. I know that lots of people are parents. The kids are going back to school. They're not actually going back to school. You're teaching them at home on remote things, and they need help with the technology. They need help with their homework. They need help understanding what they're supposed to be doing. They need supervision, depending on how old they are. Maybe you have a baby that needs attention, because babies do. And it's okay for you to be away from your desk and handling those things. And if that's you, then give yourself the grace to do those things. And if that's someone in your team, give them the grace and understand that that's a situation. And it's temporary. You know, after a few weeks, the kids will get used to being homeschooled and they won't need your attention every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll need it every 15 minutes, but they won't need it. You know, babies grow up. Babies sleep, and then you can do something. So it's really easy to, I think, oh, I'll just do this. So when you first start working from home, one of the things that happens is in normal circumstances, not now, but you think, oh, good, I can get my laundry done while I'm working, or I can get the kitchen cleaned, or I can get things delivered. And you suddenly find out that you're working like 5 hours a day, because 3 hours a day you're doing all this admin stuff that is there right in front of you, looking at you every time you stand up.
Right.
And I think the two things that you discover very quickly from working from home are, working from home means getting dressed, because otherwise you're less productive. Yeah, sure, you can work in your pajamas. It's not good for you. And two, you have to pretend that the rest of your house doesn't exist, because mm-hmm. otherwise you suddenly find that you're not working any hours of the day. So give yourself some grace, but not too much grace, and check that you are actually working enough hours to be productive. I was out of ideas to tell you why you should buy the Effective Manager book, so I went to Amazon to see what the reviews said. This one says it all. I have been listening to the Manager Tools podcast for years. I have told every manager or want to be manager I come across to listen to their advice. I wasn't sure if the book would just be more of the same things, but bought it anyway. It has tons of helpful information, and I highly recommend it. I came back to Amazon to buy a copy for each manager at our company. So even if you've heard every podcast, there's value in the Effective Manager book. manager-tools.com/products to find out how to buy your copy.
Next is update shared resources and reporting. We don't know anyone who likes updating shared drives or project management task managers to say that they've done the work, but be professional and do it anyway. there's a cliche, right? Do you want me to do the work or report the work? Because we all think it, even if we're not dumb enough to say it out loud. Reporting the work, as we tell you, as Manager Tools, you know, tells your managers to tell you, is part of the work. If the work is not reported, there's no way for anybody to know that it's done. You know it's done, and nobody else knows. If your doctor doesn't write up his notes and report his work, you'd be annoyed. You could even be in danger when you're on the phone to someone at the phone company and you have to explain your problem for the 45th time. You get frustrated that the person before didn't report what they'd said to you. When the guy you hire to redo your siding doesn't finish the job with that one bit of trim, you get annoyed. When you redo work because someone on your team didn't report it, you get annoyed. In these situations, you're justifiably frustrated because the professional you're relying on has not properly finished the job. So be the professional, properly finish the job by reporting. Expect to have whatever the lowest score in your, or right, if you refuse to report, expect to have the lowest score in your company, whatever that is, in your performance review in the team player category. Again,
team players do the work so that other people know what's been done and how it ended up. I hate reporting as much as anybody. I really do. If you think of a task that you have to do and you think in your head, okay, it's going to take 30 minutes, just add 5 minutes and say, it's going to take me 35 minutes because 5 minutes I need to report. And it just seems to make it less stressful, or at least it does for me. The other thing to do is to break it up. So instead of doing your expense reporting at the end of the month, do it once a week, because then it's a 20-minute job instead of a 2-hour job, and it feels much more doable.
Yeah, good. Okay. Also, make Zoom or any other technology work. This also falls into the category of, you could have gotten away with it for 5 weeks, but after 5 months, you really ought to have the hang of it. Look, use the power of Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever search engine you use and ask the internet for help. Ask a colleague who seems to have it down. Ask one of your kids if they're more comfortable with the technology than you. We had someone on one of our calls. I was trying to get him ready for one of our sessions, and he turned on his computer camera, and it was the outward-facing camera, and I watched his teenage daughter get up from the couch, come across the room, flip the camera around, and then wave at me and walk away.
Right. And that guy was somebody who normally works out in the field. So he's not a computer guy. He never uses a computer for work, or very rarely for work. He's not the kind of, he was a kind of outdoorsy guy and, you know, doesn't play computer games as his hobby. And so he wasn't terribly smart with computers, but he had a teenager and he was willing to ask for help.
Yeah. Not every technology is immediately user-friendly. Some of the settings are buried, they're hidden, they're not where you think they're going to be. It's not an excuse, though, to not learn how to use it, and especially now when you've had a couple of months. Zoom, specifically, which is a lot of what we use, has 1,000 pages of help documentation, videos, live training, test meetings you can log into. There are another 1,000 sites of how to use Zoom on the internet. You could just Google how to share my screen in Zoom, and Google will give you a series of technologies you might be trying to use: Mac, Windows, iPhone, iPad, phone, Chromebook, so you can get the instructions that you need. And the greatest thing about Google, right, is if you click on the images, there's somebody who has taken a screenshot of their computer with their mouse on the button that you click.
Or a video. I love videos for this stuff, because you can see people do it and you're like, oh.
Now they have that thing too where the YouTube video has like little bursts on it where it thinks what you might be looking for might be.
Yeah, so you don't have to watch the intro and the bit beforehand that you've already sussed, but you get straight to the part.
Yes.
The other thing I find often when I'm looking for instructions for other people or for people, instructions that I can co-opt so that I can send them out to our team because I'm lazy, is for some reason university professors often get very good instructions from their IT departments.
Oh, you know why.
Well, I know why, yes. But it's a good, you know, if you Google how to share my screen in Zoom and one of them is a university, I will pick that one because it's almost certainly a really good PDF with lots of images and lots of instructions.
Yeah, one of our clients is really, really good at this. She is helping to set up the training and she has put together multiple like slide decks of how to use stuff. She's so good. She's wonderful all around. And when you find something like that, it's like, oh, okay, so you're good at this, so you can help me.
Yes. And if you're the person who knows how to do this stuff or understands it, then help everybody else.
Yeah, just like, offer.
It's really annoying to, like, yesterday I went through with somebody how to turn their notifications on Slack. And it's like, oh, really? You can't work this out? But on the other hand, she couldn't work it out. And I could. So, you know, be nice. Don't be me.
And it's all changing, right? So if you don't know, then okay, like ask. It's not a big deal, especially this year, right? Mm-hmm. And if you ask someone, they say, oh yeah, of course. Like, why would you not know how to do this? I've been helping a lot of people in my personal life with Zoom because we use it at work and people don't use it in their personal life. So I, you know, I'm on the Zoom call and I say, turn your phone around. And then, you know, there's just a lot of like, I've been helping a lot of social people help with Zoom. But you really, honestly, at this point, you have no excuse for not being able to log into the meeting on time with your video and your sound set up and being able to share your presentation. And please, not your whole screen. Go change your desktop. Make it nice in case you ever accidentally share your whole screen. And then, I mean, Zoom tells you exactly what you're sharing, but be careful. While we are talking about Zoom, every single technology has this level of help available. There's honestly two, probably somebody on your team. Wendy's always the person who's the smartest on our team about this. And there's someone on your team who could be a Wendy for you, who's smarter about this stuff than anyone else and is willing to help. It's also our Wendy. So I thank you, Wendy. you would laugh, right? If someone said, I don't know how to do email. So I handwrite notes and I put them in the mail. Okay, well, listen to yourself say, oh, I don't know how to use Zoom or I don't know how to use Skype or something like that. Not being able to use the technology is just as bad as not being able to use email. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be a professional.
Yeah. And now to your point, Zoom and all of the technologies have changed a lot in the last 5 months. You know, they've been, a lot of the technologies that have been heavily used have been rolling out changes every week, which is hard to keep up with. And sometimes, you know, something that you thought you knew where it was, they've moved it or they've changed how it works for whatever reason. And if you're struggling with an update that came out last week, then fair. That's absolutely fair. You only got that piece of technology a week ago, so it's okay to be struggling with it. It's not okay to be struggling with the fundamental of opening a meeting or getting to a meeting because you've been doing that for 5 months.
Yeah, and this is another time when having your instant messenger on is really helpful. You try to log in. No, you're having trouble with the update. Cool. Try to log into the meeting a few minutes early. You can sit at your desk. You can do quiet work. Maybe you can chat with someone. You know, we have guidance where if you want to increase your network, you go to meetings a few minutes early and chat with the people who show up early. But Slack everybody, IM everybody, and say, I'm having trouble logging in. You know, heads up. Again, the proxy here, like the other indication that you're being a professional can help to ease people's concerns and also make it so you can still attend the meeting professionally and effectively and then deal with maybe your technology issues later. And look, not being able to use technologies like this kind of says a few things about you. It says you're unprepared and it says you don't care to work it out. And it also says you're willfully not taking advantage of the resources. If you add those three things up, it kind of equates to unprofessional. Finally, and my favorite, stop complaining. Just stop. No one asked for a pandemic or the consequences of this. And everyone is looking back on January and wondering, what was I whining about in January? How could I possibly have thought that things were bad? I would be so excited to be back in January 2020 this year.
And it's happening to everybody. You know, everybody is struggling. For those of you with children at home or family at home and being frustrated at the noise or the inability to have peace and quiet or the space that you don't have, that's frustrating. But for people who live alone, they've been on their own for 5 months, not being able to see anybody. And so they're struggling too. And everybody has their cross to bear, as it was. Everybody has a burden. Everybody has something that they're struggling with right now. And so complaining just doesn't help. Everybody, that's not true. Everybody needs 5 minutes to go, God, I'm having an awful day. And for someone to say, you know what, that person was a real bear to you in that meeting, you know, just slough it off. But what we don't need is nonstop complaining about things that we can't change. Like, we can't change that the virus is out there and that we all have to be careful about going out and where we go and who we go with. Mm-hmm. Be the one who's a positive force. Be the one who's like, okay, this is tough, but look, I went and read the instructions for Zoom and I can tell you these three things will make things life easier for you. Be the one who's willing to invest in, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of finding out how to do something or how to make life easier for other people as well as yourself, and be the positive force. Don't be the guy pulling everybody down. Be the guy who's pulling everybody up.
Yeah. You have an opportunity every day to be the professional you want to be. This cast lists some behaviors we've seen that indicate both professionalism and unprofessionalism. If you're guilty of the unprofessionalism, stop. If you're not, then you're the guy we want to know.
Yes. And if you have more ideas, let's talk about the guy we want to know. If you have more ideas on more things that you've noticed that indicate professionalism or unprofessionalism, either email us or go to the forums and list them out, because we'd be curious to hear what other ideas that you have or other thoughts that you want to share.
Yeah, even look, if you're really struggling with one of the technologies, go to the forums and ask someone, because not only does the manager tools team have a lot of experience with these different things. I mean, Wendy and I are both pretty good at Teams. Our whole group is pretty good at Zoom. If you need help with calendaring, my goodness, Cassie is a whiz. We've got, you know, we use Skype every day, that we use Slack. Like, we could find someone to help you. And so there's somebody else out there who can help you too. It's, I know that this sounds very, I don't want to say cheesy, but like rote at this point, that people just keep saying like, we're all in this together. However, at this point, and especially always with manager tools, we are in this together. So if you need support or if you are struggling, come to the forums, come chat with us. We're here.
Yeah. We do this for a reason, because we want your lives as working people to be better. So if that's what will make it better, then email us and ask.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Thank you.